Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. We always get together on very important subjects, and today is no exception. Take a look. This is our subject. How do we overcome the suffering that comes from self-inflicted disorders? Why is it that life has so many insanities about it? It's everywhere, no matter where you look. I mean, crazy is very common these days. And people are driven by all kinds of negative feelings and emotions and the supposed states of their life. And they look in the mirror, they don't even like what they see in the mirror anymore. And people are discouraged, depressed. Human wreckage is piling up fast all around us. People are scared. People are nervous. People are a wreck. People are trying to end their lives in one way or other. And great deep contemplations and depressions take place. And how do we get rid of it? Some people think the only way to do it is suicide. And so it's become very common now for people to have self-inflicted disorders of many descripts. In fact, they turn to the bottle, and some of them don't know where to look, don't know where to find help, and they think that ending their life is the only way out. What a tragedy this is. Depression, discouragement, despondency, and that always leads to despair. Now, this is an interesting scripture in the book of Revelation, talking about big tech. For by thy merchants were the great men of the earth. This is talking about big tech. But what's going on with the big money people? Look at this now. By thy sorceries. Now, what's interesting about this word sorceries is the word pharmacy, pharmakeios, where all the nations deceived, and so the drugs have taken over. And people think there's help in the medicating and some pills and some shot in the arm and suicide goodbye notes get left or contemplated often, and insanity is just widespread. People are just suffering. They get desperate. They don't know what to do with themselves, and so they think, I just want to get out of here. I want to end it. And so they even have the feeling that it's sort of like the end of the world is coming, and their minds are emaciated, their thoughts distorted, distressed. And so they're left with nothing but some form of self-destructive behavior. Now, all suicide not all suicide is just the end of death. Sometimes suicide is on an installment plan. A pill here, a pill there, and then more pills, another, a drink, and one thing after the other. And so people are inflicting themselves with disorders incrementally and not necessarily just ending it all at one time, although it still is self-destructive. So that's why our subject today is, how do you recover from self-inflicted disorders? So I hope you got your notebook ready, and I hope you take this down, because these points are really important. So number one, all beliefs must be based on absolute truths. If something is true, it's always true. There's no such thing as your truth and my truth. We can make up our truth, but it's fictitious. All beliefs must be based on absolute truth. Now, take a look at the scripture with me. Foolish and unlearned stupidities, avoid them. Because they're just going to get into big arguments and strife over it. And we know that the servant of the Lord, those of us who are on the right side of things so far, must not get into strife with people. But we want to be gentle. Oh, if you're going to help somebody who's suffering from a self-inflicted disorder, you really want to be gentle. And then you need to be able to explain to them if they're willing to listen. And then you're going to have to be patient with them. Got to slow down because they can't take it all at once. They're too out of whack. So watch this now. So in meekness, there is no smart alecky stuff going on here when we try to help these people. We must instruct them. Now, watch this phrase. It's really important. Those that oppose themselves. That's people who are doing self-inflicted damage, abusive damage to themselves. And of course, if they use it to themselves, they probably do it to others too. But watch this now. Because we're talking here about instructing those that are opposed to them. So why? So they will come to acknowledging, now watch this, the truth. They must know truth to be delivered from a self-inflicted disorder, no matter what that disorder is. It must be based on the truth. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Can I first advise you that you could have no better friend than Jesus? No woman, no man, no child, no teenager could have a better friend than Jesus. Because he's going to show you the way so you don't get lost. He's going to show you the truth so you won't be confused. And he's going to show you the life so that you will never be depressed. So watch this now. Because what we've learned so far is that all beliefs must be based on truth. Now watch here. Because wrong believing is a snare of Satan. This verse goes on. This is the next verse. They must recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive at his will. I want you to see a couple of things. First of all, what is a snare? A snare is a device for capturing by entanglement. So the enemy wants you to think wrong about yourself. And let me tell you this. The most dangerous prison is in your head. When something other than truth dominates your thinking, gets into your head, it will imprison you. It's not like being behind cold steel bars. It's like everywhere you go, you carry the bars with you. Everywhere. Prisoner. Irregardless of geography, you carry your prison bars with you. Wrong believing is a snare of Satan. Now watch this. Let's go back to this verse and see what it says. That they may recover themselves. They're going to have to do something about it. Nobody's just going to zap them and it's all going to go away. Although a good zapping from God is a good idea. We'll see that in a moment. But they must participate in this. They must get back to the truth because every error is a snare of the devil. It's a trick. So watch this now. They may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now watch this. Who are taken captive by him at his will. How is that possible? How is it possible that Satan can control a person? There's only one answer for this. It's found in this scripture. Because they have something other than truth occupying, functioning, driving their thinking and their minds. And it is that lack of truth that opens them up to Satan, who he can do anything he wants now. They're taken captive. Look at the scripture again. Taken captive by him at his will. Why? Because a person's will that doesn't have the truth is a weakened will. Snared. Captivated. Overtaken. So, two things we've learned. One, all beliefs must be based on the absolute truth. And wrong believing is a snare of the devil. And now, to get to this subject of how to recover from self-inflicted disorders, I want to give you the basic truth. Are you ready? This is the truth that has to be in every person's mind. It ought to occupy your thinking 24/7. It ought not to ever go away. This truth will change a whole lot of things. Here it is. Your true origin, where'd you come from, was divine. Smart God, smart creator designed you. Now look at the scripture. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. Did you know that? Did you know that God wanted you here at this time in history in the gender he prescribed, endowed with embedded natural abilities that he's implanted? He fathered you. Now watch this. Let's go back to the scripture. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. Oh, this is why Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Now watch. We are the clay, and thou art the potter. He's the one who created. We are the created. We are the clay, and he is the potter. And we are all the work of his hand. Woo. And so, yep, he shaped you, he contoured you, he adjusted you, he made sure of what you were going to be, because he never makes mistakes. We're the clay, he is the potter, and all of us are the sheep, are the work of his hand. God's your creator. Can you imagine such a thing? Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and you're the potter. And we're all the work of thy hand. Let's go back, take another look at the verse. Got to get this straight. Your origin. You may not like what he made, but you will if you get it together, and I'll show you how to do that in a few moments. Lord, thou art the Father. Thou art our Father. Oh, I need to stop a bit and talk about this. A man and a woman got together, there was a baby coming, right? But people can't make people, they can make babies, but God puts the person inside the baby. Oh, this is so wonderful. Did God, Mr. Big, smart, ultimate intelligence, had a design for you different than everybody and anybody else? Back to the scripture. Thou art our Father, we're the clay, thou art the potter, we're the work of the hand. Look at the scripture. Know that the Lord, he is God. Now, don't miss this. Look at this. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. In fact, go back to this verse. You're the Father. We're the clay. You're the potter. And we're all the work of your hand. Your origin was divine. We're the clay. You're the potter. Now watch this, because this is critical. We're going to turn the corner right now. All disorders, let me come back to the screen in a moment. All disorders begin with rejecting the God-made self. That's what gets us off track. When we reject what we essentially are and don't even understand how wonderful it is, disorders are the natural outcome. Now, I want you to see this scripture, so let's go back to it. Woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Look at this. Here's the question. It's a rhetorical question. Shall the clay, that's you and I, say to him that fashioned it, hey, what did you make? What's your problem? Was your hands not working right this day when you made me? Woe to him that strives with his maker. Now, that means big trouble. The word woe, let's take a look at it. Woe. The word woe, and by the way, you should study all the woes of the Bible, because there are warnings, cautions, watch out. Woe means grief or distress, affliction to those that strive with their maker, sorrow, sadness, misfortune. Doom comes to those who strive with their maker. All disorders, all getting off track begins with the rejection of the God-made self. Let's look at a translation. Here's one. Doom to you who fight your maker. You're a pot at odds with the potter. Does the clay talk back to the potter? What are you doing? What clumsy fingers do you have? Well, you got to get this straight. All disorders begin. And they branch out in all different kinds and fashions. We'll talk about some of them, perhaps. But they begin with the rejection of the God-made, the real you that was designed perfectly by God. In fact, let's look at another scripture about this. This is too big a point not to get straight. Nay, O man, who do you think you are? Who art thou that replies against God? Now look at the question here. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why did you make me like this? Look at this now. Hath not the potter the power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? I don't know if I told you this before or not, but I don't go to very many movies. I guess it was 2 or 3 years ago, the last movie I went to, Christian movie at the theater. And I was intrigued at the end of the movie. It was well done. There were 4 or 5 really main actors. And then they started scrolling all the supporting cast. And the makeup artist. And all the people with me kind of aggravated because they wanted to leave. And I wanted to stay and watch every single one of the credits. And I watched them right to the end, to the chagrin of all those who were with me. And watch this now. Those 4 leading actors never would have been what they were without all the supporting cast and all the supporting people. You know, it's almost the same with the astronauts. I mean, they're heroes. They walked on the moon and they were into space and all that stuff. They visited, the Hubble Space Center, etc. But behind them, in NASA, for example, it takes over 17,000 people to get those 2, 3, 5 astronauts into space. Do you only think that the important people are the astronauts? They could get there without 17,000. That's not just talking about 17,000 that work directly with NASA, but the scientists and the biologists and the nutritionists and by the hundreds of thousands that are necessary. But see, the problem is everybody wants to be something they're not. Nobody wants to be the supporting cast. They want to be the main act. And so, and watch this now, because the scripture says, it says that shall the potter, doesn't the potter have the power over the clay? And of the same lump to make one vessel into an astronaut and another into a supporting cast. One that we think is honorable, the other way it was no big deal. We think that's too much to that. Disorder begins with rejecting what you are designed by somebody who makes no mistakes. You are in the hands of a sculptor that makes no blunders, an artist that doesn't blur the painting. In fact, let's take a look at another scripture. This is the same thing. When a craftsman makes anything, he doesn't expect it to turn around and say, why did you make me like this? The potter, for instance, is always assumed to have complete control over the clay. Disorders begin with rejecting the original God-made self, trying to be something, some caricature other than what we're made to be. Now, I don't want you to miss this. Disorders begin with rejecting the God-made self, and largely, people reject the God-made self because they reject the Creator. They reject the God. Rejecting the God-made self is paramount to rejecting God. I don't like what you did, God. Ugh, I want to be something different. And so, it's really tough now. It's why people hate God. They don't like them. They don't like what he made. They want to be something different. They want to be the honorable, or what they think is honorable, not the dishonorable. They want to be the hero, not the supporting cast. Here's what's the problem. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They didn't accept the fact that he was the potter and they were the clay, and that he was a really good potter and he really knew what he was doing. So they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They weren't thankful for the person he made, them. So what happens when people reject God and aren't thankful for what he has made? They become vain in their imaginations. I'm going to be something different. And worse than that, their foolish heart gets darkened. Look at this now. And professing themselves to be so smart, they became fools. Yo. So you see, the danger is that when we reject, remember, rejecting the God-made self is where self-inflicted disorders begin. And people who reject the God-made self are really rejecting God, the Creator himself. So what do? They change the truth, remember that one, of God into a lie. And they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. So recovery from self-inflicted disorders has to be based on truth. We cannot reject the self made by God It's where disorders begin. The great truth is that God made you, and He didn't make any mistakes. He doesn't make any junk. He got design, purpose, things that you see as flaws, He's going to use and turn them into advantage. All right. So let's see if we can get this down. I want you to see if you can grasp with me this idea that whatever the premise is that you begin with always determines the outcome. Watch it now. Let me just give a definition of this, the premise. The premise is a beginning and a foundational proposition from which flows all conclusions. So if your premise is, wow, God, did you ever do a good job of me? It's going to flow to logical conclusions from there. Let's take a look at a couple of them. Let's take the first option. Let's suppose that you reject God. In fact, that means rejecting self that God made, right? If that's the premise, watch it now. Remember, a premise is the beginning and foundational proposition from which flows all conclusions. So, if your premise, I don't like God and I don't like what He's made, then everything flows from that premise. And what happens? Self-destructive behavior. You're trying to destroy the wonderful self that Mr. Big made. And so that even has further complications, because remember, a premise, and in this case, the premise is, I don't want God. I don't like what He made. I don't like what I am. So I'm about to change that, and I'm going to destroy what He made, and self-destructive behaviors begin there. And then it gets worse because we end up competing with everybody else. So I look around. Instead of accepting what God made, I thought, wow, I'd like to be like him or her. I don't want to be like him. And we check everybody out, and we start to compete. We learn it at very earliest grades in school. We compete for grades. We compete in sports. Everybody's trying to outdo another. Why is it? Because the premise, which in this case is the rejection of the God-made self, has complications. Let's go to option number two, which is the acceptance of God. And not just the acceptance of God, but the acceptance of the self that God made, the real you as designed by your Creator. Now, remember again, a premise. It's a beginning and foundational proposition from which flows all conclusions. So if you like God, if you accept God, if you accept the self, the God-made self that He designed with infinite care, then what's going to flow from that? Self-celebration. Oh, I like me. Look at me. God made me. Wow, look at, did you ever do a good job, God? Genuine self-acceptance comes from the right premise. See? It comes from the premise that God made me. Chose my gender, chose my time in history, my mental potential, embedded me with natural abilities. So what flows out of this genuine acceptance of the self that God made is self-celebration and the ability to cooperate with other people. It is easy to do now because there is no competition and we can get along. Now I'm getting close to the end, but we're not going to be able to finish this today. We're going to come back at it in a moment, in another time. But I'd really like you to get this nailed down. Here it is. Mental health, emotional stability, social adaptability, and spiritual strength come from genuine self-acceptance. Can't get it anywhere else. Reject yourself, that's the premise, goes the wrong way. But mental health, emotional stability, social adaptability, get along with others, and spiritual strength come from genuine self-acceptance. Now, let me give you a biblical example of this from the life of David. Here's what he said. I will praise thee, O God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I want you to take a look at this verse. Oh, look at this now. Can you see how mental health, emotional stability, social adaptability, get along with others, and spiritual strength come from knowing that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? And that you can say, look at this now. Marvelous are thy works. Whoa, God, did you ever do a good job on me? This is the genuine celebration of the God-made self. Now watch this next phrase. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul, that's my mind, my emotions, my ability, my spiritual ability to get along with other people. I got it. I know it. I know it right well. I got this nailed down. You ought to be able to get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, whoa, God, look at me. Did you ever do a good job? I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. Now, you know, that's true. If the barn needs painting, you ought to paint it, you know. But generally speaking, this is really great truth. Now, watch how this verse opened up. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And look at how it starts. I will praise thee. So here's the premise. The acceptance of God and the acceptance of the self, the genuine self that God made. And that, my friend, is what produces mental health. No need, no desire for self-inflicted disorders. Emotional stability, social adaptability, spiritual strength. Now you got it now. You got it. Because of the premise. Now, when you get this straight, you are going to have what I would call a healthy self. Not sick, not anemic, not emotionally disturbed, not mentally off the charts. You will have mental health, emotional stability, social adaptability, and spiritual strength. And that is what will enable you not to have to compare yourself with somebody else. You'll be healthy without prejudice. So let's take a look at Scripture. Not boasting of things outside of what I am. Here's what I am, and I'm boasting about, yeah. I don't boast in what other people do. We will not boast of things without our measure, outside our measure. This is what I am. But according to the measure, now watch this, of the rule which God hath distributed to us. Oh, last year I went to my 50th college. Can imagine? Yeah, I know. I look so young. You can't imagine me having 50 years since I graduated from college. I took my wife with me, and we walked on the campus. And the first fellow I met was a good friend of mine in college. He's a pastor. It was funny. He was a big guy. I mean, he's a really big guy. But I remember when I was in college, he said to me, I don't know if they meant it as an insult or a compliment. I don't know. But he said this to me, Johnston, you don't have much talent. But Johnston, what you got, you use. I took it as a compliment. You see, there are one talent people, five talent people, and 10 talent people. I'm just a one talent guy. But I've seen one talent people do more than 10 talent people because they accepted the premise. Oh, this is what I am. This is what I can do. And they do it. As opposed to they get off track and they compare themselves with somebody else. Look at the scripture. We don't stretch ourselves beyond our measure. Whatever we are, we are. We are happy. We don't have to live in this pressure cooker of being something we're not. Now watch this scripture. It's stunning. Look at this. We dare not. This is something you dare not do. We do not dare make ourselves of the number of people. And we dare not compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. They're all boasters, right? Watch this now. And they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. Look at this now. Look at this. It's not smart. So here's what happens when we violate this. If we start comparing ourselves with other people, people who are always telling you how wonderful they are, commending themselves, right? And they're comparing themselves with everybody else around them, and everybody's playing one-upmanship. And we don't buy into this. Because if we dare start comparing ourselves, we'll lose track of ourselves. The wonderful God-made self. Whoa. So let's take another look at this verse translation. Of course, we shouldn't dare include ourselves in the same class as those who write their own descriptions, their own testimonies, or even compare ourselves. We don't even compare ourselves with them. Because all they are doing, of course, is to measure themselves by their own standards or by comparison within their own circle of friends. And that doesn't make for accurate estimation, you may be sure. No. We shall not make any wild claims. Watch this now. But simply judge ourselves by the line of duty, watch this, which God has marked out for us. Whoa, J.B. Phillips translation. I want to show you one more verse about this. Because this is so simple. And this is how you can avoid self-inflicted disorders. Watch this. A good man shall be satisfied. Now watch it. From himself. Whoa. You do not have to get satisfaction by outdoing anybody else, outperforming. You don't have to out anything. A good man is satisfied from himself because God made you so wonderful. I think the tragedy is that some people can't get this because they don't yet understand how wonderfully they were made. Next time we get together, we're going to talk about that in detail. When you are satisfied from yourself, it doesn't matter what other people say about you anymore. The only person whose opinion that counts is God's. To your own master, you rise or fall. Nobody else. You don't have to go through life looking for kudos. You don't have a good day because somebody said something nice to you, or you have a bad day because people were yucky to you. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Because when you are intact, when you have the mental health, the emotional stability, and the social adaptability, and the spiritual strength, I'm telling you, when you got it, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. How delightful is that? Now, one more sidetrack, or at least remember, from a premise flows all concluding matters, right? When we have the premise right, what is the premise? The premise we're dealing with here is to have a genuine love of your God-made self. Now watch it. Because when you have this genuine love of your God-made self, it will enable you to love and accept others who are also God-made. And you'll feel sorry for those who are trying to be something that weren't God-made. Now, I want to go to a landmark scripture. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You want to know how to love God? With all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and emotions, with all your mind. Look at that. Look at this. This is the first and the great commandment. Now watch this, because I want you to get the second commandment. Ready? The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It may seem unusual to you, and I'm supposing this because the truths haven't gripped you yet, but when they do, you will understand that when you really love the self that God made, your own self, and it doesn't matter what anybody else has to say about it, you don't have this mental prison anymore. It's easy to accept other people because they're not competing anymore. You don't have to outdo anybody anymore. You don't have to do the one-upmanship. No narcissism. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, what? If you don't love yourself, just think of how bad you're going to treat your neighbor. You see, it is the genuine love of your God-made self that enables love and acceptance of others who also are God-made. I'll never forget a lesson I learned. And it was, never depreciate, deprecate, despise anyone for whom Christ died. Can't remember the philosopher's name. But said, everybody's fighting battles you don't know about, so be kind. When you're at peace with yourself, that is that peace which comes from genuine love of your God-made self. You can look at others without seeing them as competitors. And you can accept them. And you can obey this commandment. Look at the commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And look at this now. On these two commandments lie all, hang all the law and all the prophets. Everything everybody has anything constructive to say. It's that simple. Now, I hate that I'm almost done, because I'd really like to spend another hour with you. And I will next time you tune in. But I want to conclude with, I want us to make sure that we know the difference between self, genuine self-love, versus selfishness. They are not the same thing. In fact, they are quite polar opposite. So I hope you get this down in your notes. Here's what self-love is. Self-love is an appropriate respect for one's own person and gifting, as lovingly bestowed by the wise and loving Creator. So that's what self-love is. An appropriate respect for one's own person and gifting, as lovingly bestowed by the wise and loving Creator. In contrast with this, selfishness is quite different. Selfishness is excessive regard for one's own advantage or welfare to the exclusion of consideration for others. It's basically conceitedness. That's the problem. Got to know the difference between genuine self-love, which is an appropriate respect for one's own person and gifting, as lovingly bestowed upon us by the wise and loving Creator. Selfishness, on the other hand, is excessive regard for one's own advantage or welfare to the exclusion and consideration of others. It is my hope in the moments that we have had together that you'll get a good start on how to overcome every kind of self-inflicted disorder. I want you, and I know God wants you, to conquer any distortion of your own self, any destructive behavior that would damage. Why does he want that for you? You know why? Because he loves you. He really loves you.
When you know why you were born, you'll have a new appreciation for your true self. You will know your true purpose in life, and you'll know why you matter. Then you'll be equipped to choose a life path full of meaning and joy. Uncover the truth about you. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self. Mark Twain said, "There are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why." And David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will launch you on your true path. Take action now and visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Live a fulfilling life now without pressures to conform to the ideas and expectations of others. Live the fulfilling life you were created to live and enjoy the freedom, comfort, and confidence that can bring. Become the real you and discover your ENA, your embedded natural abilities. Break free from the prison of your past and experience the joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment you were created for. Act now. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born and order your copy of this amazing new book. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will fill you with new expectation for your best life, the life you were created to live.